Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. "Now Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Heavenly Father, I believe that your word has something for us today. And I'm asking, Lord, that you'd speak to the people and show them the power of God. And I'm careful to give you the praise and the glory and the honor in the wonderful and precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, many of you have heard sermons from this chapter. Probably every Christian knows about Naaman the leper. This chapter says, and again, many have heard preached, that he was a leper, and he went to Israel. He went to the prophet. He went to the prophet Elisha. And Elisha sent him to dip 7 times in the River Jordan. And then he was cleansed of his leprosy. God performed a miracle in that man's life. Some people have heard also preached about Gehazi that ran after him and took money. And he was certainly glad to give. The Lord had healed him of leprosy, and probably he felt in his heart that the Lord had accepted him and that his sins were forgiven or what have you. He was certainly willing to pay. It says in the text that he had offered originally to pay out of gratitude and what have you. But Elisha the prophet said, "No, I don't want any money for this." Gehazi ran after him, and he took some bit of money. And when he got back to Elisha, we understand, and again, many have heard preached, that Elisha pronounced a judgment against him, and that Naaman's leprosy was transferred to Gehazi, because he had taken money for the power of God and the miracle-working power of God. Now, certainly a laborer is worthy of his hire. If a man is a pastor or an evangelist and an offering is taken up for him, that's his wages. That is certainly something that the Bible says is correct. A minister should be paid. But you see, salvation is free. Deliverance from the Lord is free. Miracles from God are free. And certainly, Naaman was very glad to pay, but it is wrong to try and charge for a miracle from God, or for salvation, or forgiveness, or whatever. And I suppose you could make some comment about indulgences or whatever. There's a number of things that you could find in this chapter. You could take a look at the fact that he was a Syrian, and that God had mercy on the enemy of Israel. You can take a look at the fact that he heard about the power of God from the little maid the little slave girl that he stole from her parents in Israel. But it's this little girl that I want to talk about today. Many people, most people probably, look at the things of God and they really don't quite understand how this thing works. They look at church. Church is a good institution. The Lord certainly is the author of the institution of the church. They look at the things that happen at church. Songs are sung, hymns perhaps, or choruses or something. We should praise the Lord. An offering is taken. As I said, the laborer is worthy of his hire. The electricity bill has to be paid, what have you. There's a sermon preached, and certainly we can look at Jesus, and he gave the Sermon on the Mount. Obviously, these things are right, scriptural, and God uses them. But many people on the outside looking in, they don't understand. They see that these are things that we do, that Christians do this, and one denomination will do one thing, and another denomination will perhaps do something different. But it's the doing, it's the things that we do. Many people, that's all they see. Many people will see the church as an earthly institution. And certainly we're here on earth. But my point is they miss the power of God. They miss the moving of the Spirit. They miss Jesus in the midst. If you're one that does not believe in the gifts of the Spirit, fine. I have no argument with you. But in your church, or churches in your denomination, you don't believe in perhaps speaking in tongues, what have you, but you do believe that God can speak to you, that as you open the Word of God, somehow the Lord will make His will known to you through the passages of Scripture. You read perhaps through the Psalms, and your heart is comforted, and you know that the Lord somehow is speaking to you. I believe it was Paul that said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We are human, we're the earthen vessel, but there's a treasure. To me, God is very precious. To me, the moving of the Spirit, however He would choose to move at any particular time. Again, perhaps reading through the Psalms or something and being comforted. Or in some other fashion, the Lord revealing Himself to me and speaking to me. I don't take the Lord for granted. I don't take His Word for granted. When I don't know what to do, I can go to it and seek Him through His Word, and He will many times show me what to do. Should I make this decision? Should I do this or that? Many times God has the answer written down. Thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do that, what have you. But this is a precious thing, and many times those outside the church never understand that the Lord is in the church. Okay, that's fine. That takes care of the people outside the church. But many people are caught up in the doing of religion. Well, it's Saturday night, I got to go to church. Or, well, it's Sunday morning, I got to go to church. Or, it's Wednesday night, I got to go to church. And honestly, and I don't mean any disrespect, but if you got to go to church, probably you ought to just stay home. Talking about giving offerings. God desires a cheerful giver. And I believe that that idea carries over to every facet of our Christian walk. If you got to go to church, and I understand sometimes I don't want to go to church either. I completely understand that. But if that's your attitude, then you're missing something. God has more for you that perhaps you've forgotten about. We get caught up in, you know, and one denomination will do something one way and the other will do something another way. The Baptists, well, they know when to say amen. The Catholics, they know when to kneel or what have you. However it is that one denomination or group does it. But again, too many times we get caught up in the things, the pattern that, well, we know it's, they've taken the offering and now they're going to sing a special song. And they begin to, you begin to expect that these things will take place in a certain pattern. And you miss, many times, the Lord speaking, perhaps. But this little maid, she knew the Lord. But it says here in verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. I don't know how old she was, 8, 10, 15, I don't know. And I've perhaps said on this program before mentioning her, we don't know her circumstances. We're not told very much. We understand that many times in many different cultures that a captive would be taken and used as a slave. We don't know. Maybe to wash the pots and pans. Maybe, and I don't know what happened to this little girl, but many times these kinds of slaves are raped or what have you. We don't really know. There's not really any indication here that that happened to her, but certainly she was a slave doing manual labor. But she was taken from her home. She was taken from Israel. Her family, well, she had no contact anymore. Her friends, well, I'm sure she missed them very much. She may have cried herself to sleep every night. We really don't know, but we can probably surmise that it's likely that these are the kinds of things and emotions that she felt. But Naaman was a leper. And we understand a little bit about leprosy. We understand today that it's some sort of bacteria or something that was cured several decades ago, what have you. Right here in Louisiana, right up the river at Carville. And we understand that. And I suppose I could mention that, leprosy in Scripture is a picture, a symbol of sin. And this man, I don't know exactly what his physical manifestation was, but he was a leper. And back then there was no cure for leprosy, obviously. And it was a dreaded disease. And we can read through Scripture and perhaps maybe we've seen something on television or documentary or something. We understand that lepers were shunned. They were not allowed in the regular community. And there was, people were afraid of them or what have you. In the Word of God, in the Old Testament, we understand that they were ceremonially unclean. But he was a leper. But he, or one of the soldiers that worked for him or something, it says that they had gone out by companies, a band of maybe a scouting party or something, had gone, or a raiding party had gone into Israel, and they saw this little girl, 8, 10, 12 years old, who knows. And they stole her from her family and brought her back as a slave, and she was assigned to work for Naaman's wife, so that Naaman's wife didn't have to cook and clean or mop the floors or something. She had a housekeeper that she didn't have to pay. But this is where the story is miraculous. Many people, again, will look and see that he dipped 7 times in the Jordan and came away clean, and that is a great miracle. That is a very great miracle. And you can look at the fact that leprosy is a symbol, as I said, of sin. And he dipped in the River Jordan, and his leprosy was cleansed. You can say that you can dip in the Jordan, which probably is, you can say, is a symbol. and that his sins were washed away. Certainly a great sermon. Certainly would point you to the fact that your sins can be washed away by trusting in what Jesus did on Calvary. One of my favorite verses in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Verse 18, it says, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Certainly a wonderful sermon. And I many times will stop and thank the Lord that I'm forgiven, that my sins are forgiven. I'm very grateful, and I'm happy to be able to preach it to you, that Jesus forgives sins. But this little maid, slave girl, had every right to resent Naaman's wife for making her cook and clean, had every right to resent the captain of the host or the army of the king of Syria, Naaman, for stealing her or having her stolen or what have you, had every right to hate her new master, had every right to despise the one that had made her a slave. But verse 3, "And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my lord Naaman, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Had every right to hate Naaman. But in her heart, there was a cry in her heart out of compassion for the man that had enslaved her. There was love. Imagine that love. She, a slave girl, had love for the one that had enslaved her. We can shout up and down and preach great sermons on Naaman the leper. He went down 7 times and came up shouting, just like the song says. But the greatest miracle in this chapter is the miracle in that little maid's heart. She forgave the one that had stolen her. She forgave the one that had enslaved her, made her work every day or what have you. Had love and compassion. And out of the love in her heart said, "Would to God that Naaman, my master, could go to Israel, because I've heard of this prophet, Elisha, who can do mighty miracles, who can do these great works. And I've never heard of him," she said, "having anything to do with leprosy, but I know that he can do it, because our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is a great God. He's a merciful God. He's a powerful God." And she probably could say that, "Well, I know some verses from what we call the Old Testament. I am the Lord that healeth thee," or, "I'm the Lord that healeth all thy diseases," etc. And again, this is the enemy, the Syrians. This is the captive saying that she loves the enemy, loves the captor. This is a wonderful thing. "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." I don't know how I can add to that. That is a wonderful story. That is a precious story. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, if you have resentment in your heart, I can't tell you what to do. Maybe you have a right. Maybe the person that you hate deserves it. Certainly this girl had every right to hate that she forgave. She spent time with God, and just like David when he was following the sheep as his brothers mocked him, he spent time with the Lord. And God did a wonderful thing in his life. You look at what this little girl said. You see compassion. You see forgiveness, as I've said. Obviously, this little girl knew the Lord. Obviously, as she was scrubbing pots or crying herself to sleep or whatever, she spent time with the Lord. She spent time giving these things over to God and surrendering them in her heart. And God did something in that little girl's life. It's really interesting to look at the fact that she was the captive, but she was free. She was free in her heart. And her captor, Naaman, he was enslaved to sin, or again, we said that that's a symbol. He had leprosy. He was the captive. If you have unforgiveness, if you have resentment, again, I can't tell you what to do, but I would encourage you to give these things to the Lord, to surrender them, to forgive that person, or what have you. And God can do something wonderful in your life. God can do something wonderful in your heart. You know, we can all have friends. We can all hang out with our friends. We can all have enjoyment in our life. Many different things that we can find in this life to enjoy ourselves or occupy ourselves or comfort ourselves. But God can do something in the heart that no one can do for you. You look at this little girl. God did something in her heart. And he can do it for you. Today we would run to the psychologist. Today we would run to counseling. Today perhaps we'd run to psychiatric treatment or perhaps drugs or something. Today we would do everything but Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. We wouldn't trust in the Lord with all our heart. We wouldn't lean to anything except our own understanding. We wouldn't acknowledge God many times. But when we do that, when we shut God out, neither do we have the promise of God directing our paths. I would encourage you, like I said, to take your burdens to the Lord, as you hear me say, as I close out the program every day. And leave your burdens there with him. Another of my favorite verses, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Come unto me, Jesus is speaking, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This little girl, she knew the meaning of this verse here. Thousands of years before Christ spoke, she knew what this verse meant. And as I began to say in the beginning of this sermon, many people, they look and see the things that we do. You know, we go to church and every Sunday they take up an offering. We go to church and every Sunday that deacon shakes my hand. But there's more to it. There is so much more to this thing than the outward keeping of religion that we do. There's the pearl of great price, and this is one of the parables that Jesus told. that he found a pearl or a gemstone or whatever it was. He sold everything he had, hocked his grandmother, just to get enough money to buy that field. And after he had bought the field, he went and dug up that pearl or diamond or whatever it was. A pearl doesn't grow on land, but you get the idea. He gave up everything he had just to be able to take possession of that pearl. But when he dug it up, he was a rich man. And that's like the gospel. I can't quote the verse exactly, but Jesus said that we're not a fool to give up what we cannot keep, the things that we have in life, to gain the thing that we cannot lose. Put your trust in Him. Come to Him. Look to Him. Cling to Him. Depend upon Him. God will not let you down. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.